I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and co-owner of PurePleasureShop.com.
And I'm April, sex toy maven, VP of Hot Octopus, and I've dedicated my life to the business of sex. We're two people with a passion for educating and inspiring shame-free conversations about sex and relationships.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Revolution. Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hey, little baby.
Oh, my God. That's adorable. We were talking about babies right before this.
Well, we were talking about like, hey, baby, I'm going to sign your baby.
That's from Talladega Nights. Yeah, people are like, I'm really
scared. I watched
it
on the plane before our last event at Hustler Hollywood.
Yeah.
And I was sitting next to you. And remember, I was laughing my ass off and you were watching something else, probably more.
Like depressing.
Yes, as you do. And I'm like, Amy, let's sign someone's baby.
They're not going to bring the baby into the Hustler Hollywood adult store.
I don't know.
Although they might.
Hilarious. They might. And I'm fine with that.
The 18 and up is only the back room, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And anyways, it was fucking hilarious. Do you remember it?
That moment? No, yeah. I was focused on my video. You're ruining my moment.
And Talladega, do you remember me laughing my ass off?
Yeah. I will never forget. They threw Grandpa Chip's war medals over the bridge.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to comb my ear like a spider monkey. So everyone I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
Yeah, everyone asked where Chip and Dip came from.
That's where it comes from.
That movie.
Exactly.
But there was no Dip, just Chip.
Well, no, we created the dip.
Yeah.
Serendipitously.
You know, because when you have a
All right. Everybody's like fucking yawning or eye rolling. So we love you.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Thank
we
you.
Love you so much. So this episode is with the fantastic, the fabulous Erica Lust. She is a fucking badass. We have appreciated her and her work for 2 decades now.
We've been obsessed with her. We've wanted her on our show so many times. She was on Emily Morse's show several times.
Yeah.
And I've seen her work in my sex education training when I was doing my sex ed certification. And she is mother effing brilliant.
Yes.
And she was on our show. She's Swedish. She lives in Spain. She does film work all over the world. She's incredible. So smart. So talented.
So Erica creates ethical porn. And when we say that, you might be like, bro, that sounds boring. It's actually not boring at all. You can create super hot, spicy, exciting ethical porn that even has a gangbang in it. So this conversation is all about ethical porn that she's created, but also can a gangbang be empowering for women?
It kind of feels like you're watching a blockbuster film that you could see that
it's like a
Spielberg did or some famous director
not
did.
Not sponsored by Spielberg.
No, not at all. However, that's how talented she is. It feels editorial. It feels like it is, it's so creative. It doesn't feel like it is some back-end iPhone shot film that is like not honoring everyone's
and doesn't it feel so good to know that
acting skills.
I'm acting right now. Does it feel so good to know though that all the people that participate from penis owners to vulva owners are not only being paid well, but like she says, don't want to give it away, but they all get to speak like, here's my needs, here's my yeses, here's my nos, here's my boundaries, and they're all respected. And that does not apply to most porn. That's fucking fabulous.
It's also not yawny porn where you'd be like, oh my God, is it going to be so long? There's like so
get
many
get to the
long
anal
scenes.
Scene.
Right.
Anal scene.
Because sometimes you do want to fast forward. So we want to honor Erica Lust for her creativity and for her work. And you're going to learn about her story in the bio and not only in that, but in the beginning of the show because she's incredible. So,
and I'll just say this right now. In a little bit, you will hear about how to find her work and to view her lovely, lovely offerings. And we have a very special discount. Originally, it was 10% off, but now it's 30% off with code 30SHAMELESS. So at the end of the podcast, you might hear her saying or us saying something about like 10% off. So you actually get 30% off. So you have very little risk in going to view it for yourself to find out what we're talking
limited
about.
Limited time too. So make sure you do that soon.
Get it now. Okay. All right, Chip, we're going traveling. Where are we going? Where are we going? What are we doing?
All over. So we're coming to Philly first, which I cannot wait, in May 2024. One of my best girls ever, Amy, love you, but you love her too, is in Philly. We're coming out there. And then we're going to be in New York, but we're going to be in June. We're going to be in Vancouver, Washington. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be in Portland, Oregon.
That's in
June as well. Yeah. It's around the same time. And we're doing two different versions. You have to go to shamelesssex.com to learn about all these things. And then we're going to be in Chicago. So if I have Chicago/Wisconsin friends listening, I will be there.
You better be there.
And my brother always like, when are you going to be there? Wait, what?
Your brother doesn't come and be so
No,
bad.
He's already got, he already blocked it off. So that is, and we're going to give you specific dates. They're already on our website, so check that out, because I don't want to bore everyone with all of those dates. But if you're in Wisconsin and I don't see you and we went to high school together, or you're in Minnesota and you want to come to Chicago, we're going to be there in June as well. And then July, we're in LA right before my birthday. Amy is going to be there with
me. So now
me.
You have to come if you're in LA.
Now
it's her birthday.
To go. And then Seattle in August. So we've got Philly, Vancouver, Washington, Portland, Chicago, and Seattle.
And Los
LA.
Angeles.
So and you better come and see
like
us.
Like April said, just go to shamelesssex.com. You can see all the links and how to sign up. And we are just going to say this right now. Please sign up now. I know you're like, that's like 2 months away. It's 3 months. It's 4 months. I don't know. But if you live there, sign up, because otherwise we might not come there. And I'm not saying that as a threat. It means that we need people to show us that we should come to your city. And these are the cities we chose based on what we saw for our listeners. Like, you're the main body of our listeners. So please, please, please show us some love.
I want to say something else too. When we were writing our book, it took us 2 years. People always asked how they can have more shameless sex. They were like, why don't we get more of you? Why aren't you traveling? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing this?
We are now.
So now we are. So now it's the time to show support, and you can get tickets if you want to arrive with us when it's there, or buy tickets beforehand. But honestly, it does help us, because we will cancel shows if there's not enough people signing up. So sign up, okay? And tell your friends.
That's your guilt trip from your Jewish mom, Amy Baldwin.
And your non-Jewish mom, April Lampert. was Jewish by injection for many years.
Jewish by injection. That's
all right.
True.
So now we're moving on.
Sex question. I want to do butt stuff with my man. I love this question. I want to do butt stuff with my man. We don't have a lot of money, though, so we want to spend wisely. And we would love a toy that we could both use, since you guys called it the universal orifice. Is there a plug we can try that we would both like?
Well, they can use their hands for free.
That's true. Right? You have one finger, two finger, three finger.
If your fingers, nails are trimmed, remember that.
Yes, you always have those. Yes. Yeah, so actually that will work on all asses. And the beauty of the ass is that it's basically designed the same on most humans. It's just that if you are a penis owner, you have a prostate in the rectum. You have the anus. It's like the little puckered part that's like, I'm so tight. I'm putting a
it's
finger
like
in my
lips when you're like
puckered.
This. Like,
oh, yeah, exactly.
Like that.
And then you get through that, but then there's the anal canal, which is the tight sphincter muscle that's trying to like
keep things real it's tight.
I like your commentary. This
okay,
is fun.
I'm just in the back end. I'm in the back end. You're getting it?
So wait, I'm going to hear it. That was awesome.
I can't help it.
So after the anal canal, wait, I'm ready. I'm open to what you're going to say about this. You open up to the abyss of the rectum. And it's open and it's airy. It's dark. It's like a cavern. And so...
So I watched Dune the first one last night, so maybe that's where it's coming.
Spice. Anyways, so if you're a penis owner though, and you want to find the prostate, you would take your fingers in there, or that's the best way to find it, curve up and in towards your belly button, which would be the same thing for a G-spot and a vaginal canal, but the G-spot is not as far in as the prostate. And so I say all of this because yes, it's the universal orifice, and we are going to talk about a number of anal toys, and they will apply to both of you. It's just that some things will get to the prostate better than others. So first of all, April, what are we all about?
Okay, so I will suggest some anal bling, because why not? Why not? Anal bling.
Something I love anal bling.
Something that you put into your butt that looks really sexy,
but,
or that you feel. Oh, but what?
Yeah, I can't take it seriously. But okay, so anal bling, but what about an anal bling set? We have a small, medium, large.
Oh, so like training your butt.
Yeah.
That's smart.
Or not just training though. Like so today I feel or like I'm a small, my partner feels like a large, or I'm a large
and
my partner's
and
a small.
If you're just trying to figure it out, you can start small and then figure out medium and then go to large when you feel like And
that's the training part.
That's the training part. And that's really cool because you will know when you want to have a bigger plug-in. You will know. Your body will kind of...
It's like, give me more.
Exactly. So you can trust the training kits. So there's anal training kits. There's the booty gems, like that what is it? Like pretty butts, or like you can look pretty.
So the butt bling I'm thinking of is the Emerald Gem anal plug set. And these things you can get from Hustler Hollywood, and we'll give you all the info on how to get these. And you get 20% off. So I love some butt bling. They're generally metal or stainless steel. They look beautiful. And if you look at the person that has them in and they put their asshole in your face, it's like the most gorgeous puckering emerald, not diamond, but bling bling in your face.
Okay, I just got one when we were at Hustler Hollywood in LA, the store, the like OG store.
Hollywood Boulevard.
Where we met Mrs. Flynn.
Oh, we did.
And everything. And we signed a book for her or two. And I got like a set of those, and that looks super hot in my butt. Mm. And even when I'm sorry to get weird, but like, period, if you're on your period, I love anal when I'm on my period.
Yeah.
And so putting that in and then being like, boop, take it out, and I look sexy, and I'll like dance for you, and then take it out, and then I'm ready for some anal.
Would your partner wear them though?
No, he's not yet.
Okay, that was awesome if your partner is open to wearing some butt bling. So let's move forward to, because this person wants something that their partner would want to wear.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So if your partner's
down
with some butt bling, go with the Emerald Gem anal plug set at hustlerhollywood.com. Okay, so our theme is we're sticking to kits. Why? Because you have all these sizes and options on what you can do. So one of the basic ones that I think works for everyone, and all of these are made of either metal or silicone, like they're all high quality materials.
Body safe,
yeah, because it's the ass.
We would never recommend anything else.
Oh, hell no. So anal trainer kits, those are like Hustler Hollywood has so many of them. And when you go look at their website, you'll see they'll have generally three sizes, sometimes four to five, but it'll have a small, medium, and large. And so what we were saying earlier, you don't know what kind of mood your ass is in, your partner's in. And so you can play with all these different sizes, and your ass might be in one mood today and the next day it's in a different mood, like April said. So it's really fun to play with these, and you have so many options on what you can do. So go check out the anal trainer kits at hustlerhollywood.com. And
you like the zero tolerance one?
Okay, so here's why I like the zero tolerance one.
And you need lube to put these in, by the way.
Oh yeah,
everyone
everyone get
that.
Lube, yeah, preferably Uber lube. And so the zero tolerance kit, I like this. So it's called the intro to prostate kit. So it is the universal orifice. So when you look at it, it would be like, okay, well, one of the plugs is like a symmetrical plug. Another one has these kind of like bulbs on it. Another one has a curve. And for me looking at that, yes, it is more designed for a prostate, meaning a penis owner, but any non-penis owner's ass would benefit from these if you want to use plugs that also enhance sensation. And anything that's curved that you can sanitize after when your partner's ass, you could put it in your vaginal canal and stimulate the G-spot, because the G-spot is also curved, as I said earlier, like the rectum that goes into the prostate area.
Anything that's curved, that's a sex toy. Don't just put anything curved that is around your house.
No. Well, okay? Not the butt.
That's what I'm saying. Not the butt or the pussy. Dude, just get something that's designed to be a sex toy.
Yeah.
And that is a sex toy. Please don't put anything curved.
Not all materials are created.
People ask me that. They're like, what about if I just put a banana? I'm like, no.
No, no.
And I have smart friends, and so do you, but that has been asked.
The banana is the last thing I would think about putting in. If I looked at my kitchen, I would not go with banana.
Look, you could go with a lot of things, but just don't go with any of it. Just get a fucking sex toy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Get a sex toy. So. Right now, can you tell them how do they
okay,
get
yeah,
these
I will. Did I get off trail? Sorry.
No, you're good. So just a reminder, anal training kits, we're talking about butt bling. This is the Emerald Gem anal plug set. If your partner's also open to having some bling in their opening.
Or the zero tolerance kit, that's a prostate kit.
Intro to prostate kit.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. You can search any of those things. And they're all available at Hustler Hollywood, and you get 20% off, y'all. They don't offer that often. So they're specializing in bringing couples closer. There's 59 stores nationwide, but you can get 20% off. Just go to Hustler Hollywood and sexy lingerie. There's gifts, bath and body items, lubes, massage oils, and the best sex toys in the industry. Amy and I love. Get 20% off your first purchase using code HOTSEX at hustlerhollywood.com. That's HOTSEX. Link is in the episode's description.
But what? That's it. That's all I had to say.
Oh, that's nice. Are you ready for a bio, you little butt?
I'm funny. Oh, yeah, you are.
Okay. Erica Lust is an award-winning indie erotic filmmaker who creates sex-positive adult cinema by portraying relatable characters and realistic hot sex, going beyond gender stereotypes to offer a groundbreaking alternative to mass-produced mainstream porn. Erica has been featured in The New York Times, the BBC 3 and Hulu series Planet Sex, named one of the BBC 100 Women's Most Influential Women of the Year, and so much more. To learn more, go to ericalust.com. That's Erica with a K. P.S. You get 30% off with code 30SHAMELESS. That's ericalust.com.
Action.
Oh, wait, the director has spoken. The podcast has begun. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the interview part of Shameless Sex. We are here with Erica with a K, everyone. Erica with a K. Lust. Erica Lust is amazing. April and I have been huge, huge fans of her work for many years, like many years.
I've watched you win awards for your direction from XBiz, and so impressed by everything you've created. So I just wanted to interject because I had a fangirl moment when you logged on to meet with us. I was like,
oh my God, thank you so much.
So yeah, we're obviously very excited about this recording, this episode. And you already heard a little bit about Erica in our intro. But Erica, can you please tell us and our listeners a little bit more about how you got to where you are today in the field of sexuality?
Well, it's kind of a long story, and it obviously started many years ago. I was a student of political science, and I was very interested in the world we live in power structures and gender studies and identities and sexuality. And I was watching porn, as many young people do when they try to find out a little bit more about who they are and what they like. And what happened to me was that my body did react to the images I was seeing. I felt horny. It felt good. But at the same time, I didn't really like what I was seeing. So for me, it became a bit of a conflict. And I started to talk to other people about it. And I realized that most of my male friends, whether they were heterosexual or gay, they liked porn. They enjoyed it. They watched it. It was part of their kind of normal sex life with themselves. But most of my female friends, they had similar thoughts to mine. Somehow they didn't really connect with the porn that was out there. So as a good student, I had to investigate a bit more about it. And it became clear to me that there was some kind of structure there, some kind of gender differences. And I realized that most of the people who were making porn were actually men, and they were making it for the male gaze. And the way the women were portrayed was many times as some kind of beautiful objects or some kind of tool to their sexuality. But the stories was not really about that. And I think that that was the kind of the main idea that started to, you know, to torture my head a little bit. And then life kind of went on, and I had moved down to Barcelona, Spain, and I had started to study film, and I was working in the film industry as a production assistant, etc. And with my film studies, I had an opportunity to make a short film. And for me, that was the moment where I kind of faced my own ideas that I had had earlier. And I sat down and I was writing a script, and I said, my God, I wonder, could I make a different kind of porn? Could I make something that I would actually like? And not only like what the storytelling of it, but also the cinematography of it, the whole idea of these characters and how they meet and the passion and the intimacy. And I wanted to put kind of all of those perspectives into porn and see what happened. And I did. And I made this little short film called The Good Girl, and people started to like it. I sent it to film festivals. It won some awards. And then I published it on my blog online. And in just a few weeks, it had got millions of downloads, and people were writing to me and they were saying, hey, Erica, I get it. I really, really like what you are doing. When are you going to make more? Please make more. And that's how Erica Lust kind of was born.
Mm-hmm. So your film, your film school or whatever professors, they were probably either really excited and like mind blown, or they were like, whoa, I don't know how to grade these things, which is the best. So yeah, that's not even a question that I wanted to ask, but how was that? What was the reaction? Did you get it fucking A+? Okay.
It was definitely a bit of both. It depends on the people. And this is still my experience today. When with porn and sex in general, there are people who are very interested in it and want to see more and learn more and get into it. And other people just feel the shame and the difficulties and are afraid of anything that kind of is sex related. I do, obviously, in the work field I'm in, I feel, you know, I experience the stigma of working with sex all the time.
We experience it just having sex in the title of our podcast and our book. So I feel you. And thank you for doing that work, because you're making not only incredibly beautiful and artsy and editorial porn, but it's ethical. It's like ethically made, which you don't know what you're consuming a lot of times when you're just going to these massive porn sites and not consuming ethical porn. And I say consuming because it's for our viewing pleasure, but like people don't understand the effects that can have on the actors, the folks in production, all of the folks, right? The food chain of the film industry on the adult side. So, and you've been doing this for 20 years, which is, and maybe even more than 20, that's two decades. So you'll have to get like, let us know more about that, because this is 2024 and 20 years of being a creator like this and this visionary for the industry. And porn can kind of have a bad name to some people, like porn, but you make it beautiful. And it is, it's so stylistically, it's gorgeous to watch. It's like a lot of the scenes and how you shoot them are just insane. So you've won a number of awards because of your talent, because you have a gift. And we know, both Amy and I know, and for folks that don't know Erica Lust, you have to know that she knows her stuff. So how do you believe in those 20 plus years, how has the porn industry shifted from when you started and you tapped in a little bit, but to where you are now? I'm sure you've helped really shape it into what it is now. Thank you. So yeah, what do you think about those days and now?
I hope I had a little bit of influence on some of the things that are happening. And I mean, when I started out, I felt very much like I was an outsider. I was obviously criticizing porn. I wanted us to start talking about it, to think about it, to change many things that I didn't like about the way it was being made, from the process of how we are working to challenges in how people are being described on camera, on screen, and enter more of a diverse perspective and different sexualities and how gender roles are being played out. And I mean, there were so many things that I just felt that porn really needed to mature a bit more. And for that to happen, people needed to start talking about it. And this has changed. I definitely think so. I think that the porn industry in general is a much more professional and serious industry today than it was 20 years back. I think that the people in this industry have reflected on the huge influence that porn have on our society. My God, porn is a third of the internet. People are watching it. Even if they're not talking about it, we definitely know that they are watching it. And we know that many people are using porn as some kind of sex education, even if it was never, ever thought to be that, because porn is fiction. And that is part of discourse that I think is very important, that it reaches people, and especially young people, that porn is media, the same as other types of media or media, Netflix, television, film, Instagram, TikTok, article, press, you know, magazines, etc. And as all media, it's sending out messages about how we are expected to behave, how we are expected to look, how we are expected to have sex. And all of these messages are having a huge impact, especially on young people, and also not so young people, but especially on young people who haven't had that many own experiences of sex in their life, and they haven't had access to accurate, diverse, inclusive sex education. For me, the biggest problem that we are experiencing right now is the lack of sex education, is the censorship of just dialogues about sex in general in our society, how these spaces where we are allowed to even talk about sex are being limited and censored and banned all the time. Social media, that in the beginning was a place where we had a space to express ourselves. That's how I started, in the blog space, where we had, you know, time and people were reading and you could publish stuff. Then the blog space kind of disappeared and went into what we know today as social media. And in the beginning, there were Tumblr and there were, you know, lots of different platforms where people were having open dialogues and were interchanging ideas. And they were very interesting for many young people who wanted to explore their sexuality, and especially people outside the heteronormative ideas. But
censorship was limited, right? Censorship was limited in those times. Not anymore.
Until it wasn't.
Not anymore. And this is, you know, unfortunately, now we live in this world where these white, rich, hetero, cis guys are the lords of the internet. They are the ones who are putting their rules out there. And they have very specific ideas of what is allowed and what is not allowed. And it's hard, I think, for me and for many people to see how the banning is becoming more and more biased, how all these images of kind of sexualized, objectified images of the female body are being accepted. Images where women are expressing their own sexuality, and especially if these images goes outside heteronormativity, if they are bigger bodies, if we're talking about hair under our arms, if we, you know, express ourselves in a different manner, then we are not welcomed. They don't understand what's happening to us. But if you want to do a fitness video showing off your ass in a little bikini and you're well shaved and everything,
I was going to say, as long as your pubes aren't sticking out.
And this is happening.
It is. There's this other podcast that we've been on their show, and they're coming on ours soon. The Come Curious podcast. I think they're from the UK. I think they're.
We've been collaborating. They have even guest directed a few episodes.
Really?
They're amazing.
They're awesome. So I was seeing one of their posts. Is it Flo or Reed? I don't remember which one it was doing this, but she was posting her photos of, like, and she's a gorgeous woman who will post her, like, here's my pose, right? Here's me, like, sucking in my belly and wearing, you know, covering all my pubes and stuff, and here's me really right now, and she'll just, like, show that, and she's been censored for just some pubic hair sticking out, like weird shit like that. That is just silly. Like, you're telling us not to be women, basically.
I didn't know pubic hair was such a thing. Well, it was censored. Yeah, I know, but I didn't know it was such
but
a thing.
You
to be
know,
censored.
The female body is being policed. It's being policed in so many different aspects. I mean, it's obviously, abortion is one of the biggest problems happening in America in, at this moment, right? But not only we need to talk about that, it's also menstruation, it's breastfeeding your kid. It's, I mean, just the kind of the naked body people are afraid of, our female naked body. Like, what's gonna happen?
Yeah, everyone's gonna go wild, they're gonna go crazy.
Exactly. It's not necessarily something that has to be sexualized. It can be sexualized, but it can also not be sexualized. It can be eroticized, but it can also not be that. And it's important that we understand that we have right to our bodies. We have right to make the decisions that we want with our bodies. And it's not up for everybody to kind of objectify us and do whatever they want to do with us. But if we want to do it, we have the right to do that. But it's hard for women. We haven't had the right to our sexuality. I mean, it's not even been 100 years we had the right to vote.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we couldn't open a bank account. We were, it's 5 minutes.
Without our husband's permission to sign on something, we couldn't own property. Yeah, it's still got a long way to go.
Yeah, and just the whole, I understand we can't walk around like, you know, masturbating in the streets because, you know, that's a consent issue and could be quite distracting, could create some car crashes and stuff. But like, you know, if my pubes are sticking out of my short shorts and you're like, oh no, just don't look at me. Like, look the other way. It's okay. My body was born naked and it didn't have pubic hair, but now I do. And I'm pretty into them because I think that they're supposed to be there and it feels nice and soft and I like it. So that's an Amy problem. And it's not a problem. It's Amy's story. Time for a quick break so we can tell you about our carefully chosen sponsors.
Please stay tuned and buy their products because we only tell you about what we love and what we truly believe in, and it helps keep this podcast free to you.
Hey there, podcast fam. Let's talk about those moments when life gets crazy.
And you're talking about every single day.
Yeah, pretty much. And you're left with no time or energy for a healthy meal.
Also every day.
Been there.
Done that.
Dun, dun, dun. But let me introduce you to my personal lifesaver and chips, Factor. And stay tuned because y'all get 50% off delicious, healthy meals.
Did you say 50?
50, 50. Nice. Healthy meals that make your life 10 times easier. So what is Factor? Factor is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals delivered straight to your door. It makes it so easy. It's ready to heat and eat in just 2 minutes. And I bring this to the SS, that's Shameless Sex, studio. I share with Chip if she's good.
I just ate some, right? Like, not even 5 seconds ago.
I know. And also my attorney partner, who's super busy. It's been a complete game changer. And he also has teenage boys, and they absolutely love it, especially the recent bacon cheddar chicken dish with cauliflower.
As Amy just said, even teenage dudes love it. So why don't you get it for yourself? Because it is downright delicious. And if you're ready to experience Factor, then check out this offer that's just for you. You shameless sex, beautiful listener. Head to factormeals.com/chipanddip50 and use code chipanddip50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code CHIPINDIP50 at factormeals.com. I'm going to spell it for you right now. It's CHIPNDIP50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Ooh, Amy, get in my box right now, my Factor box.
Yes, please. But okay, let me move forward to another question, though, that's related to your work. Okay, this is a total switch from what we were just talking about, which I think is still important and it will probably all be connected. But what do you say is the most common fantasies that women have based on what you are seeing in their top porn interests from your ericalust.com empire?
Is it long pubic hair, Erica? No,
long pubic hair.
Definitely. I mean, there are some tendencies there that you can see, but I don't think that the big differences is between men and women, actually. I see pretty common interests amongst genders, and what I see a lot of is people wanting to explore group sex, some kind of everything from threesomes to orgies, kind of. That is on the top list almost of most people's fantasies. And then lots of different kind of power play, BDSM in different forms, kinks, etc. That's also pretty common, I think. I think most things when we talk about sex are much more common than what people think, you know. So many people think somehow that they are perverts, that something is wrong with them, that what they desire is something that's outside the norm for what is normal. And actually, it's not really. Most people, their fantasies, they have in common with quite many other people.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean they necessarily want to do them. And a lot of them might want to do them. And I'm going to move to this question also because it was my question. And I don't know if April relates to it because it's connected to
No, I knew it was. I was like, this is Amy for question.
Yeah. I wrote this one. But because I think this can be really confusing. We asked Tristan Termino about this too, because I think it'd be really confusing to say, like, you know, I'm a feminist or, you know, I, you know, believe in some form of like, you know, fighting for more equality in, you know, all the genders and especially for women, vulva owning folks.
Women's rights.
Yeah. And so, mm-hmm. but also I'm into some like kinky ass porn where I like watching women being in a submissive role, getting, you know, roughed up. Mm-hmm. And so like if I'm, you know, if I identify as a feminist and yeah, I'm attracted to porn that involves, sorry, dogs is going crazy, dominance and submission and maybe even some rough sex, can I still be a feminist? Or if someone else's word is not feminist, can I still be someone who's into like strong, empowered womanhood while thinking that's hot?
No, you are going to be a
feminist. I know your answer is yes.
Of course you can, obviously. But the question is the question that many, many women have. I had lots of conversations about it. I even made a film once called Feminist and Submissive because I had so many people asking me kind of if feminism was something they had to practice actively in their bedrooms somehow. And obviously, when we're talking about practicing feminism in your bedroom, that doesn't mean you have to be a dominatrix. That just means that you believe in equality, you believe in political equality, you believe in the same opportunities and not being judged or having less opportunities because of your gender. And what I recommend everyone to do is to have deep conversations about consent and try to get to know your partner as much as possible, what they like, what they don't like, what kind of bad experience they might have had in the past that has made them being, you know, skeptical or afraid of some things, how they can create a safe environment together to explore things that might feel a bit scary, but might still be on the list of something they are interested in figuring out how they would react to that kind of sex. Mm-hmm. And you know, that goes for most of the kind of kink and power play situations. Mm-hmm. Desire isn't always easy. Sometimes when it comes to fantasy and desire, we want to explore the limit of what we feel. And some people obviously get very turned on the idea of fearing a little bit or of feeling a bit of pain, etc.
I have a question. My turn, Amy, my turn.
I was just going to elaborate on that. What, same
one. Yeah, I think, well, I just want to bring up something that is important because we're talking a lot about I feel like the U.S. is really present in a lot of this conversation, but you're originally from Sweden, right? And you live in Barcelona. And so globally, we're not just listened to in the U.S., right? We have listeners all over the world. And do you see these trends in terms of not only the porn that you're making, right? And what people are consuming, do you see those trends like globally being similar? Or because I think that women, when they're not as oppressed as they are in some other countries, countries. And even with social media, I don't know, Sweden, I know, is far a little bit more advanced in terms of sex education than a lot of places. In terms of, I even know with, I'm going to say the dollar to dollar ratio between what people are earning is much more similar, if not much better, that in Sweden. But Barcelona, I know, has their own set of issues, but you've lived all over the world. And so I would love to tap into that, because that to me is something that, even if you are a US person listening or a Canadian person listening or an Australian person listening, it is relevant. So, and then we can get back to what Amy wanted to elaborate on.
Well, when it comes kind of to the world today, I think that globalization have had a huge impact in how people kind of react, because in the end, we, you know, we have the same cultural references. There are some differences, obviously, but I don't see that many big differences. We listen to the same music. We see the same films. We see, you know, the same television shows. We listen even to the same podcast. We speak the same languages. My God, 20 years ago, the world was different than it is today. And I think that this will even be a bigger effect on a young generation, that they are all watching the same trends on TikTok. They're buying the same product in the stores. They're, you know, but maybe there are a few trends. I mean, we all know that the Englishmen kind of like a little bit of spanking, and that German people are into leather and kink.
Like and that. The ass. I agree. April, I met some Germans that love the ass. Okay. No judgment. That's awesome. We love the ass too.
Kardashian culture is taking over the world as well, which is started from Calabasas.
Yeah. That's a true thing that's happening. So with the this question about the porn that you create, and if someone is in a conflicted state of like, okay, like, you know, I believe in women's empowerment, but I'm watching porn. I'm curious, do you think that we already know that choosing ethical porn such as ericaless.com is one of the answers to actually do your research, but also to see what looks like very real female pleasure. Like, even if she's being beat up and choked and spanked and told she's a bad girl and, like, you know, locked in a cage, it still feels genuine to your soul and to your intuition. And they're still depicting her pleasure as important and also authentic.
I think that there are many ways of depicting female pleasure and kind of showing the female gaze somehow, this kind of pornographic films. If you look at, you know, what we all know as kind of mainstream porn, that the tube sites that are out there on the internet, that is what most people recognizes as porn today, then obviously you will see a kind of porn that is very focused on the female body. When it comes to the male body, you mostly will see penises. There are very few shots actually of men, of their expression, of their faces, of them kissing passionately, of, you know, kind of interaction that is intimate and close, and that humanizes sometimes the people, right? Because it becomes very much about gynecological shots and details and bodies jumping around, and the penetrative part is what we mostly see. And what I miss a lot in lots of that porn is kind of authentic female pleasure, because as a woman, having lived in a female body now for 47 years and talking to many, many women and read many reports on female pleasure, I know that the easiest way of reaching an orgasm is clitoral stimulation. And I miss that in lots of the porn that's out there that is, you know, created by men for men. It's like they don't care about that detail. That obviously is not the detail, because it's a big deal. So I would really, really like to see more women getting into the creation of making these kind of films, telling how they experience sex, what turns them on, what works for them and their bodies. And I think that if we have more women making porn, we will see a huge difference in the kind of porn that's available to us.
It could be a scary
not
thing.
Not only women, also yes. LGBTQI yes. plus, yeah. you know, communities and trans people, etc.
Absolutely. I think that is a great point and a great manifestation to put out there, Erica, because it's true. I think it is a scary, it's a scary place for a lot of women to go into, right? And I commend you for doing that 20 years ago, because it is such a, it's a predominantly dude, as I call them, oriented space. And it is shifting a bit. And I think you're part of that. And then we've had a really incredible, another filmmaker on, and it was years ago, so my brain right now isn't working, but Bree Mills. Thank you.
Yes.
I have too many Bree friends. I'm like,
where's Bree? Bree.
So
the cheese.
And there's so many other emerging creators, I think, that want to. I met some when I did my Shaw training, the Sexual Health Alliance training. There were some filmmakers that were in the same, it's online, so I never met them in person, but they would share their roles. And I thought that was really cool. More non-binary folks also going into the space, which I thought was cool. So the LGBTQIA plus platform that is drawing in more folks. So I'm just making a reiteration of what you stated in agreement with you, and also encouraging people out there if they are interested. And then also, which brought me thinking, and I have a question, but brought me thinking to, I was talking about Kardashian culture, and I was like, wait a second, the Kardashians were famous because of Kim Kardashian's sex tape. And I was like, so how is that for a banger of a situation where people that might be anti-porn or I don't know if they're anti, but let's say they're like, oh, ew, porn.
But they love the Kardashians.
But they love the Kardashians, which I do know people exactly like that. And I'm like, isn't that interesting? You got to see a bunch of her on film naked and, you know, and now she's this $1 billion empire that brought her family into
leaked.
It.
It was an accident. So she's innocent.
Just like when the paparazzi are like, oh, someone called and said this person's going to be there. We're going to show up. And it's like, yeah, it's
and
all planned.
Even if it was leaked, it doesn't, regardless, there was still a camera. They were still recording the scene, right? So like, it's still like homemade, you know, homemade erotic porn experience.
Ray J. Yeah, that was Ray J. Yo. Yeah.
No judgment.
Brandy's brother. Yeah. I love that tape. Anyway, I didn't really watch it. I just watched it. So, Erica, we're not about those types of tapes to consume. Plus, tapes are long gone. Now it's just digital, right?
Time for a quick break to talk about one of our sponsors who just so happens to be our absolute favorite lube, UberLube. UberLube is a luxurious silicone lubricant and it enhances intimacy. It's there when you want it and it blends in when you're done with it. So you have control over that lube. It's long lasting and leaves the skin extra velvety. And honestly, y'all, I want it all over my body. Thousands of doctors in the U.S. are recommending UberLube to their patients. It's body friendly, less likely to change the pH, and it has vitamin E, so it feels extra moisturizing.
There's a reason why we've been a fan of UberLube for years. There's no flavor or scent. It's even great for oral sex, everyone. But it's not just great for sex. You can use it for massage, your hair. You can prevent chafing. It even brings out the colors of your beautiful tattoos. And the bottle is absolutely gorgeous. It looks more like a cosmetic, so you can leave it anywhere shamelessly for easy access. Just go to uberlube.com and use the discount code SHAMELESS10 to get 10% off and free shipping. Again, that's UberLube.com right now with code SHAMELESS10 for 10% off and free shipping. This podcast is also brought to you by OMGS.com. Join over 1 million people who are experiencing more pleasure with OMGS. They take scientific research of thousands of vulva owners showing techniques to pleasure that pussy. They turn this research into tasteful, educational short videos, animated modules, and infographics. OMGS is for anyone who wants to learn about vulva pleasure or take it to the next level. Want to take your orgasms from good to out of this world? Then check out OMGS. Or if you're a vulva lover and want to up your pussy pleasuring skills, then you need to check out OMGS.
I've personally been recommending OMGS to my clients for years, and it's completely changed their lives. They have three seasons, external pleasure, internal pleasure, and sex toys. It's not a subscription service, and you don't need to download a thing. OMGS also makes a fabulous gift, and your purchase supports more pleasure research. So just go to omgs.com/shameless to get 10% off right now. Again, that's omgs.com/shameless to receive 10% off unlimited access towards enhancing your pleasure power. The link is in the episode's description.
So this brings me to this question that I had, and you can say whatever you want about that observation that I had about the Kardashian culture, but I just was like, So you're releasing this Kazumi party featuring superstar Kazumi, and it's it's in a gangbang, which I love.
April loves gangbang.
It's a gangbang film.
That's the first porn I ever watched. Oh my God.
It's the first gangbang film I ever directed. Gangbangs. It's a genre that I was a bit skeptical about myself, actually, that I felt that I didn't know exactly how to do it, how it worked. Could it be feminist? Which is a question that, you know, that I work a lot around. How do we understand our sexuality and what makes it feminist and what doesn't make it feminist, etc. But then I met Kazumi at the XBIS event in Los Angeles, and we started to talk, and she said, oh my God, Erica, I've watched your films. I love your films. We should do something together. And there it kind of started. And we had a long conversation about what kind of film should we do, and should we do something romantic, something beautiful, should we do something vintage, should we do something more shibari, should we do, we were a bit all over the place, and I asked her, Kendall, but what do you really, really like? Is there something you really like in your own sex life that you haven't done that much on camera? And she said, yeah, I want to do a gangbang. She said, because in my real life, I love gangbangs. They're, you know, all about me, and I'm the queen, and the guys adore me, and it's my party, and, you know, I cry if I want to. And she's like, this is my world. I like it. And then I thought that that conversation really inspired me into making a film that actually starts with our conversation, where we are talking to each other about what kind of film we are going to make. And that leads us into this whole kind of gangbang situation. But I have to say that it was fascinating getting to know her, seeing how she works, creating this film together, because really worked a lot on the mood board, what it was going to look like, what kind of set we wanted to create, what kind of a co-stars, what co-performers did she want to work with for this film? Because obviously, we're going to work with five guys. We need these five guys to, we need her to really like them. We need them to function together. We need them to be people who can show respect and understand how the dynamics works in a situation like that. So we presented her, because she was also coming to Europe to film this, and she didn't know that many performers here. So I kind of set her up with lots of different performers and said, hey, you're going to have to interview them. You're going to have to get to know them to see who you like, who you're attracted to, who do you want to pick for this party. And
did this come out yet? Because it said, I wasn't sure if it's being released or if it is released. Is it out yet?
It's out now. It was okay. Yesterday.
Brand new. Oh, awesome.
So this will come out a little bit after we record, but this is basically almost April 2024. So that is, congratulations, Kazumi. Okay. So Kazumi was this female empowering lead. And so now you can see, I'm so interested in how the gangbang goes down and how like it's orchestrated, because that is so cool. So, okay. Thank you. So everyone check out Well, we'll tell you how, but we have a couple more questions. Can't leave you.
And then also maybe to mention that when we shoot a complex scene like this, we are working together with intimacy coordinators and talent managers. So everybody has, you know, been checked, have left their statements of what they like, what they don't like, etc. We done these talks before the filming, and we do it again the day in the morning before we start the sex scene. And this is even a conversation that parts of it we have taped. So if people are curious about how do they actually prepare a scene like this, what are they talking about, you can watch a making of to get an idea of how does it work.
I have watched that before. It's so fascinating. Mm-hmm. It was so cool. And that's when I became your biggest fan. So, okay. Mm-hmm. Amy, I know you have more.
Well, one of my favorites with that was when behind the scenes, we got to see that with like a deep anal scene, you know, like it's after and they're like, I didn't eat for 3 days and I wore a butt plug for so many hours or something. And like, you know, there's just this stuff that they don't show, or like all the lube application and all these other pieces. And also the feelings and emotions, thoughts and desires. And that's really cool that you're talking to all the performers ahead of time, like, you know, share your what you like, what you don't like, what you want, what you don't want. And so everyone feels considered, whether you have a pussy or a cock or all the in-betweens. And I think that's really important for everyone listening who, you know, you're getting all your free porn, which I still think it's interesting that people assume porn should be free because it's a career and a job that people work really hard for. And it's quite backwards. It's the same thing with like music should be free or movies should be free.
Podcasts are free though.
Podcasts are free, but they're free because we're also hoping that you buy things from our sponsors or the people we have on our show, because that helps to keep this free to you. So it's a full circle. Really, not much is free other than the air you're breathing. Not everyone has great air, so you should appreciate that too. But anyways, that's my tangent. Erica, this has been so interesting, and we'll slowly close here, but you know, we'd love to learn more about Erica Lust, and then it's X Confessions, right? So Erica Lust with a K.com. What can people expect? Like, I know that we're talking a lot about feminist porn or ethical porn, but who is it for? Is it for penis owners? Is it for all the bits? You know, how can they find it and access more of you?
Well, it's for everybody. And I think it's also important for people to understand that when we talk about things like porn for women, feminist porn, ethical porn, that doesn't mean that men are not allowed and shouldn't watch it. And obviously, they do. And many, many people also watch it together with their wives or girlfriends, or, you know, to start a conversation about sex. I love when I receive emails where people are saying, hey, Erica, thank you for making that film about that subject, because it really helped me to communicate with my partner about something that I have wanted to do for a while. And I didn't know really how to, you know, present it. I didn't know where to start. And then I said, what do you think about watching this film? And we watched it together. And then I'm like, did you like that? And he's like, oh, yeah, that was interesting. And that kind of makes people have all these important conversations. Because still, I think that because of the lack of sex education that we have had, we are not that good at having, you know, real deep conversations about our own sexuality. Sometimes we are even hiding it from ourselves. Mm-hmm. So a tip there is really check in with yourself first to try to figure out who you are and what you like, because that's really going to help you to explain better who you are when you meet someone. I don't remember the question.
Where do we find you? Where do we find your content? What you make? We know, but for all of our listeners out there, no matter who you are, as Erica just said, penis owners, feminists, vulva owners, non-binary folks, you can access Erica Lust porn, and it's incredible. So just to, and also if you have other things that are coming out soon, I know you do so much, and we're on socials, on social handles too, all the things, Erica, please.
well, I am Erica Lust, Erica with a K, and you can find me at ericalust.com, obviously, where you can subscribe to our membership sites, where you can watch all our content, our films, short films, documentaries, Some are sex education, others are narratives. There's a whole range of lots and lots of different kind of films.
And I believe your folks out there, if you want to click in the link in the show notes, you can use our shameless code and get a little bit of an incentive to watch Erica's incredibly, they're so incredibly well done. It's like you are watching an actual feature blockbuster film that you're like, I'm not going to compare you to anyone. You're like Erica Lust, and you're just an artist, and you do great things. I've never looked at your work and felt dirty or gross for watching anything that you've created. And unfortunately, some of the dude creations out there do sometimes feel like, ooh, right? Yeah. And no shame.
I think especially many women who have that feeling that they want to get turned on, and then they go online and they feel totally turned off, and all the horrible pop-ups and the ads with products that are strange that they're trying to sell to you, grow your dick pills and whatever it is, it feels very, very much like a scam business, instead of feeling that you're in a safe site where people care about the work that is being presented. You can watch with high quality, you can watch with subtitles, you get credits on everybody who has been working on the films, you get to watch behind the scene materials, interviews with performers, and you feel like you're part of a community of creators, directors, photographers, performers who really, really care about showing human sexuality from lots of different angles and diverse perspectives. And it's kind of porn for people who love the film.
Yeah, it is. Exactly. That's a great way to describe it. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of those people, because I love watching great artists and talent make things that feel good. And I love that. Like, you can do a vintage feel, you can do something that feels like outdoors, but like the way that you, the cinematography, it is, it's like the way that you direct. So I'm going to go on and on because we can't though. Erica's in Barcelona and she's 9 hours ahead of us and it's getting late there and she's got children and things to do. So everyone out there, Erica with a K, Lust, check out all of her work, and it's, you're always creating more, and hopefully we'll get more. You can check out the Katsumi Gangbang. It's a film that was released pretty much right when this podcast was released. So check that out and support this incredible creator, everyone, because that's not only good karma, but good orgasmic material for you and your partner or partners. So enjoy. Bon appetit. Or, you know, and Erica, so much love for you. Thank you once again for being here and taking the time to talk with our listeners about your incredible work. To all of our listeners out there, I say this every week and I'll say it to you again. We love you so much. Thank you for tuning into Shameless Sex and keeping this podcast as big and amazing as it is. Amy and I feel so lucky, and check us out because we are on a bit of a tour. So we're East to West Coast, and this is US right now tour, but we will be coming to you internationally. Okay. I'll brush up on my Swedish. I'm just kidding. But
Australia, we will find you. Australia, don't you worry.
I'll brush up on my Australian English. Yeah. And yes, check out Shameless Sex, the book. It is everywhere books are sold, or go to shamelesssex.com to find Erica Lust and the actual code that you can get some money off of her creations. And yeah, you can review us. That'd be great too. Okay. If you haven't yet, I forgive you, but I expect you to do it right now. All right, y'all, we will see you next Tuesday, shamelessly and as fabulous as ever. Ciao for now.
Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code shamelesssex at purepleasureshop.com.